Turn with me now to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We're going to be in the next couple of weeks looking at some of the last words that Jesus ever spoke, spoken while he was on the cross. You know, famous last words, that's what we call the final communications of dying people. And more often than not, what someone says at the end of their life billboards something about their values, their priorities, their struggles that they're dealing with as they face the final buzzer of life's game. I was reading the other day that right before P.T. Barnum died, Barnum and Bailey Circus, his last words were this: "How were the receipts today at Madison Square Garden?" Life's bottom line, obviously, for Barnum was money and business. Actress Joan Crawford was so filled with anger before she died because her maid was standing over her bed and praying out loud, and her last words before she uttered her last breath was, "How dare you ask God to help me?" And then in Northern England, a man requested that this tombstone, his tombstone, be engraved with these words. I've often thought about maybe having these words written on my tombstone. Words directed to his wife, and they read like this: "I told you I was sick." As we think of last words, let's read today as we begin with verse 32. And read through verse 39 of Luke 23. Let me ask you to keep your Bibles open before you as we begin reading at verse 32 and read through verse 39 of Luke 23. Hear now the word of God. "Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are king of the Jews, save yourself.' There's also an inscription over him: 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.'" Ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. Let us pray. Lord, there is a great need that we all have this morning. And we praise you before we even begin looking at this passage that you have met this need in Jesus Christ, and especially in what he did on the cross. We pray, God, that you'll help us better see our deepest need and also the greatest benefit that comes from the cross. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll share a couple of stories that shed some light on this great need that we have. One story is a true story written by Ernest Hemingway about a Spanish father who decided to reconcile with his son. It had a major falling out, major argument, and the son had run away to Madrid. And so the father takes out an ad in the newspaper El Liberal in Madrid, and he says, "Paco," it's in the ad, "Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana, noon, Tuesday. All is forgiven, Papa." Tuesday arrives, and when the father arrives at the square where the hotel is located, he finds hundreds of young men named Paco. I had a friend that came into my office about 28 years ago, bags under his eyes, obviously suffering from deep spiritual depression. As we begin to talk, he explained why. He says, I don't think God's going to let me into heaven. Pastor, if you just knew the people I've hung out with in my past, the places I've been, the language I've used, the thoughts I've had, the way I've treated Christians in the past, I can't help but believe that when I stand at heaven's gate, I will not be allowed to enter in. There's no way God will forgive me for everything I've done. See, friends, forgiveness, it is such a deep need that 200 or hundreds of people named Paco come out to be forgiven by their father. This young man would love to find forgiveness. You know, you simply cannot make any progress in the Christian life apart from forgiveness. It is the oil that lubricates our relationships, and the absence of forgiveness is the arthritis that cripples relationships, especially our greatest relationship, and that is with God Himself. That's why this morning, as we look at this word of Jesus from the cross, what Jesus is saying should sound like sweet music to our ears. This is the sweet song of forgiveness. It's a song that reminds us that our deepest need, the deepest need that we have in this life, has been met in time and space and history. I want us to look at this passage from a couple of perspectives. First of all, let's look at this passage from the perspective of a mirror. A mirror. That is, God is giving us here in this passage a mirror in which we see the people who need forgiveness. Now, what we see here is people at their very worst. We see Jesus being led away to the cross by the worst kind of people. Verse 32 tells us these people were criminals. And, you know, just pause at that word a moment, because this is a word being used to describe the very worst of people: murderers, violent criminals, the Charles Mansons, the Jeffrey Dahmers, the Saddam Husseins, the Osama bin Ladens of the world. These, we're talking about not just trespassers, but the bottom feeders on the human food chain. Notice also here that Jesus is being led to the worst of places. Verse 33, the place called the skull. It's a place where violent death and suffering, violence, is up close and personal. You can see it. We see Jesus on the cross hearing the worst kind of verbal abuse of verses 35 through 39. You know, it's hard to comprehend. Here's someone that with a snap of a finger could have called hundreds of thousands of angels to come out with swords and wipe out these people who are mocking him, but yet he doesn't do it. And we see Jesus experiencing the worst form of punishment. Verse 33 said, they took him to a place called the skull, and there they crucified him. Again, this is an amazingly awful act. It's nailing a living victim to a cross, a stake. This victim is already a bleeding, bloody mess, a bloody pulp. He'd been beaten with a whip that's laced with pieces of bone and steel and glass. The victim is hung to die of thirst and exposure. Cannot defend himself from the torture of gnats and flies. They settle on his naked body and his bleeding wounds. Klausner, the Jewish writer, put it this way: crucifixion is the most terrible, cruel death mankind has ever devised for taking vengeance on his fellow man. And ultimately, what crucifixion is death by suffocation. I don't know about you, but you know, you can't choose how you're going to die, but that's the choice I would never take. Can't imagine anything worse than dying by suffocation. It's just terrible. Now, having seen that, I want us to do something that's going to sting. Sting's going to be good for you, though. Kind of reminds me of when I was a young'un playing outside the house on our first house in Hattiesburg on Bay Street, and I would skin my knees, and Mom would call me, and I knew exactly what that meant. It meant she was going to dip a cotton swab in some rubbing alcohol, and she's going to swab that open wound with alcohol. And man, did it feel good. But you know what? I knew that was the best way to kill the germs, stop the potential infection. Healing process was not going to begin until it did that. So I endured it, you know, as if I had a choice. Still, I endured it. Now, what I want you to understand, what we're about to do is we go back through this. We're going to experience something that's about as enjoyable as an open wound being treated with rubbing alcohol. But please understand, we are open wounds in many ways, and our pride and pretense are the germs that infect us. We need to pour the rubbing alcohol of Holy Spirit conviction upon these open wounds of our default mode, which is the mode of self-righteousness. We always want to make ourselves look better than we really are. So let's hold up a mirror and let's ask again, what kind of people need forgiveness? Well, notice Jesus was led out to Calvary by the worst kind of people. Now you're thinking here, well, combined to these people, these violent criminals and murderers, you know what? Compared to them, I'm a pretty good person. And you know what the problem with that is? The problem is compared to them. See, when you're engaged in comparison, I am better than you are. You are better than you are. Have you ever noticed there is no we in comparison? And that's the problem. I ask you, in the company of Jesus, that's the standard, by the way, not the person sitting next to you or the person sitting behind you or in front of you. Compared to Jesus, we are all criminals who have broken God's law and committed cosmic treason against the King of Kings. Have you ever noticed when people get close to Jesus, what happens? First time Jesus performed a miracle in front of Peter, what did he say? Hey, that was cool. He didn't say that. What he said was, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Now you put the writings of Paul in chronological order, and where he moves as he grows spiritually is that he moves from a place where he says, "I'm a sinner," to in his last letter, Paul says, "I am the chief of sinners." You see, as he grew closer to Christ, he more and more saw his need for forgiveness. We need to see ours. We need forgiveness as badly as any criminal on death row. Notice also Jesus was led to the worst of places. Let me ask you, have you ever gone to some really bad places in your life? I'm not talking about some restaurant where you got food poisoning. Talking about places growing up you wouldn't tell your parents about. Places where you should not have been. Places you wouldn't want broadcasted on the local news. Now think about it this way. If you're a Christian this morning, add to that another fact. That is, wherever you go as a Christian, you take Jesus with you. Now, as you go to places on the internet or cable TV where you should not be going, ask yourself the question, what would Jesus think about where I'm going? Would Jesus enjoy watching this movie with me? And then since Jesus knows everything you think, would Jesus go to those dark places in our minds that we go, those secret places, or we would not want anyone to know what we're thinking? See, we need the forgiveness Jesus brings because we go to some very bad places. We also read in the text that Jesus heard the worst kind of insults and profanity against him. And again, we realize, do we not, that our language leaves a lot to be desired. I hope you've never taken the Lord's name in vain, taken God's name in vain. Perhaps you have. Or perhaps you've used Jesus' name in some way other than worship and praise. Or you're hanging with people right now that mock the name of Jesus, that use it as a swear word. Let me ask you this. Since other Christians bear the image of Christ, have you ever made fun of another Christian? Stuart Town and the Geddes, they have this song, "Ashamed I Hear My Mocking Voice Call Out Among the Scoffers." You know, the people who write movie scripts, media people who mock Christ aren't the only ones who need forgiveness for what they say. Then notice here that Jesus, you know, he's subjected to the worst kind of punishment. I ask you, you know, you may say, well, I wasn't there. I'm not responsible for that. But through your words and your actions and attitudes, have you ever hurt the cause of Christ? If you believe what the Bible says about the real reason why we see Jesus hanging on the cross, then you must realize your sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Again, Townend, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. It's hard to believe. It's 2004, so like 12 years ago, that the movie The Passion of the Christ came out. And there's a scene in that movie where Jesus' hand, I forgot if it's his hand or his wrist, is being nailed to the cross. And someone's holding a spike in one hand and he's got this mallet in the other hand. You know who that is in the movie? It's Mel Gibson. Those are his hands. It was his way of saying, I was driving that spike into Jesus. It was my sin that held him there. You know, the former president, George W. Bush, referred to Iran, Iraq, and North Korea as the axis of evil. We all go, yeah, preach it, brother. They're evil. But do you realize, if you look into the mirror of our true condition, the real axis of evil is me, myself, and I. That's where it begins. I hope you understand that. You know, the kind of people we are, the places we've been, the things we've said, the way that we have hurt the cause of Christ, we need forgiveness. We will always need forgiveness. Forgiveness may be the most important word in our vocabulary as Christians. So now we've looked in the mirror. Notice in the second place, I want you to look through a window, because there's a window here in this passage. God gives us a window through which we see not just the people who need forgiveness, but we see now through this window the person who provides forgiveness. Through the window of this text, we see a person. His name is Jesus, and the place where he provides forgiveness is the cross. Please understand, if this didn't happen, there is no forgiveness. And there, if there is no forgiveness, you can go knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door all you want to, and it will never open. Forgiveness is the key that opens the door to heaven. Now let's look at this forgiveness that Jesus provides, because quite frankly, it is breathtaking and it is praiseworthy. Just lights a fire of praise. Notice the forgiveness that Jesus provides is persistent forgiveness. Look at verse 34, because there's something here that you miss apart from the original Greek. And that's this. Notice, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Let me read it now as it would be in the original. And Jesus was continually saying, Father, forgive them. As the nails tore through his tendons, sending jolts of pain rushing through his body, Jesus was praying, Father, forgive them. As the soldiers mocked him, as the religious leaders gathered around the cross and taunted Jesus, Jesus is praying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. No matter how bad it got for Jesus, no matter how insane and blind and ignorant it was, for anyone to be crucifying this innocent man, this Lord of glory, Jesus never changed the tune of the song. Father, forgive them. Please think of that for a moment as Jesus planting seeds. Explain it this way. Every time anyone confesses their sins, anytime someone turns from sin and turns to Christ, what we're seeing is the fruit of this prayer. Every time. We see the fruit of this prayer when we see the criminal on the cross converted. We see the fruit of this prayer magnified on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people turned from their sins and turned to Christ. As a matter of fact, every time you see a conversion, that is the fruit of this prayer that was prayed over and over again. Father, forgive them. Friends, if you're forgiven this morning, and I pray you are, you're forgiven because Jesus persistently prayed this prayer on the cross. And the fact that you're forgiven this morning is a living testimony to the persistence of this prayer. But notice, secondly, that Jesus not only offers persistent forgiveness, this is very important. He offers personal forgiveness. Notice Jesus said, now notice something interesting. He says, Father, forgive them. Why is he saying that? When he was on this earth, he says, I have the power to forgive sins. So why is he asking the Father to forgive them? Here's why. Because on the cross, Jesus is absorbing our sin. The Bible says Jesus became sin for us. He became filled with our sin. You know, we want this forgiveness. You know, we want our sins to not be held against us. We want the record of our sin deleted completely as far as the east is from the west. But please understand, in order for sin to be forgiven, there must be justice. Think about it this way. You borrow your neighbor's lawnmower. You break your neighbor's lawnmower. Now, for justice to happen, somebody's got to pay. Either you're going to pay for the lawnmower to get repaired, or your neighbor is going to pay. Either way, someone's going to pay. Well, the fact of the matter is, friends, we broke it, and Jesus paid it. Jesus took your sin upon himself. He received in his own person the punishment you deserve for your sin. You broke it. Jesus paid to fix it. That's grace. I broke it. Jesus paid it. So he says, Father, I'm paying the debt they owe. Father, on the basis of what I'm doing, cancel their debt. Forgive them. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Forgive them. Forgiveness. Paco's glad he is forgiven. My friend is glad he is forgiven. See, there's a song, a sweet, soothing song we need to hear the rest of our lives. It is the song of forgiveness. And it comes from only one place, that's Christ. See, Jesus sang this song on the cross. So I ask you this morning, have you heard this song? If you believe that Jesus has paid the debt of your sin, if you believe that Christ took upon himself your sin, then you can listen to this sweet song of forgiveness. And by the way, while you're at it, you need to sing that song to people who you need to forgive. For Jesus' sake, you need to forgive others. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at the mirror of this text, it's often a painful look, but it's necessary because we see that before the lawgiver of the universe that we are all criminals, that we have been to some bad places. We've abused the gift of speech. We've hurt the cause of Christ. Or we need forgiveness. But Lord, as we look through the window of this text, what a glorious thing we see. You know, as persistent as our sin is, even more persistent is your forgiveness of us. Lord, we see a person who of his own accord took our sins upon himself. He was punished so we could be pardoned. Pardoned to praise you. And pardoned so that we can offer forgiveness to others. Lord, help us to sing into our own hearts and lives this sweet song of forgiveness. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.